Amen. Thank you so much. That has been one of my top five favorite hymns since I was a teenage boy. I love that song and the message of it. My mind began to think of Scripture, of course, and I thought of Hebrews 10, where the Scripture says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And then he said, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The torn body of Jesus becomes the veil that we pierce through to get into the presence of God. Covered in his blood makes it possible that we might go into that presence and not be consumed by the glory thereof. Thank the Lord for Jesus tonight. Thank God he did what he did for us on the cross. I have a promise to fulfill. I told a man this afternoon from Greensville, is that North Carolina, South Carolina? South Carolina. Greensville. South? Thank you. He called because he had seen an article in Fires of Revival battling depression and discouragement, and he asked when he found out I was in revival meeting tonight that I would mention his name, and I promised him I would, and I'm mentioning now his name. Ronnie Coleman is his name, and he's going through a real battle, and he asked the prayers of God's people. And I promised him I would mention him to you, and I'm doing it to keep my word to him. If you have a copy of the Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and I'm going to pray for him just a moment as I read my text and pray over the text. Colossians chapter 3 tonight, and it's been a great blessing to be here these 3 days. They've flown away, it seems to me. It's over so quickly, but I have certainly enjoyed my time with you here, and I've been blessed by the ministry of music. I've been blessed by the fellowship. I've been blessed by your pastor and his family who love the Lord, and it's refreshing to be in their presence, as well as their family that come up that I knew already before this meeting that have been a blessing, just the fellowship time. It's been an encouragement to have the guys here from Florida, and it's an encouragement tonight to have these dear folk coming up with the hills from down the country. Lee and Ann Sparkman here, our longtime friends from Texas, who are now living over here in Mississippi, in the Laurel area in Ovette, Mississippi. And to see them here tonight is an added blessing. And these folk, the Sparkmans and the guys, have supported our ministry for years now. I mean financially as well as in prayer. And they don't want me mentioning it, and I'm not doing it to embarrass them in any way. I know they do it as an obedience to the Lord, but I just want to say publicly, they've been a great blessing to my family through the years and a constant source of encouragement. And I want y'all to know, and I'm saying it publicly, I want y'all to know what a blessing y'all have been to my family. And I appreciate you. Colossians 3, and let's read beginning in verse 16. One last installment that I have tonight in what God's doing in your church, and I want to be a good steward of this opportunity. Colossians 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Father, I pray in this service tonight that you would make your word quick and powerful to us. We know that it is that. We know that the Bible is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. that it serves as a scalpel to flay us to the point that we can see the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And I pray tonight, Lord, you would minister the word to us in such a precise way, with surgical precision. You would apply it to our hearts so that we might be exposed for what we are, that it might cut asunder the soul and the spirit, and it might be a discerner for us this evening of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know them? We can't even know our own hearts unless your word exposes them to us. So I pray that you would do a divine expose on us tonight, and that we might be the better for it, that we might be like a man going under the knife so that the illness could be removed and then health could be restored. In Jesus' name, amen. I am a student of language. I like words. I spend my time studying grammar. Even as I study the Bible, I do it in a grammatical way, and parts of speech and things like that interest me. Words are of great importance, of course. It's the only means of communication. And our text has a word in it that is of great interest to me. It's a very significant word. It's found twice in the English translation I'm reading to you. It's found in verse 17. It's found again in verse 23. It's not a big or complicated word. It's rather a commonplace word, in fact. In the day in which we live, this word's given a workout. Now, I can't say it right. You have to be a girl, I think, between 13 and 30 to say it right. Whatever. Do you hear that word about 6 jillion times a day? My son said it to me the other day. He's 11 years old. He stayed in the room with his mother tonight. She's been alone all day, basically, in the motel room. He said, whatever. I said, boy, unless you're going to grow bangs and start wearing panties, don't you say that around me again. Don't talk that girly word around me. Whatever. We use it in our society as a way of dismissing whatever the subject is or the person speaking. It's a way of dismissing, writing off, whatever. No importance attached to what's being said. That's how we use the word in our day today. But in our text, the word's being used another way altogether. In our text in verse 17, the Bible says, whatsoever. Now that's an old King James. It just means whatever. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in that 23rd verse, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now that's a legitimate function of a part of speech there. That's not a dismissal. That's not a way of writing off or disrespecting the person speaking. This is a legitimate part of speech. It's used so powerfully here. In fact, in verse 17, it is constructed. If you could read it in the Greek New Testament, you would find that it says this, trying to be as literal as I can. It says this in the 17th verse, and all singular, that's singular there, all thing, everything, whatever. All of these words pile together in the Greek language, and all, everything, whatever. I get the idea. God wants us to understand that what He's teaching here covers any conceivable situation. I love to read verses like this in the Bible, and I love to preach on them because I know this. Whenever I preach on a verse that says, whatever you do, then, brother, I'm preaching something that is applicable to every person in the building. No matter what's going on in your life, what your situation is, here is a verse that can be applied to it. Whatever you do in word or deed. Anytime you find a passage in the Bible that contains a word like this, automatically your antennas ought to go up and you ought to say to yourself, you know what I'm discovering here? One of the huge principles of the spiritual world. I am discovering now a passage, a principle, a truth that applies not to some things, applies not to some situations, not even to most situations, but now I'm discovering something that applies to everything that I'll ever face in my life. There'll never be a time or a place in the life of the Christian where this text can be set aside and regarded as irrelevant. There is never a situation in your life where you can afford to dismiss this verse of Scripture and pay it no attention. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want to preach on tonight is this matter of doing whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world can this mean? What does it mean to do all that I do in the name of the Lord Jesus? Well, obviously, I can tell you right off the bat what it does not mean. It does not mean that you have to verbalize the name of Jesus behind everything you do. Now, it doesn't hurt to do that on occasions if that's necessary to remind you of the things of God. But this is not about a verbal attachment of His name. You don't say, I'm cranking this car in Jesus' name. I'm driving the freeway now in Jesus' name. I'm paying bills in Jesus. You don't have to verbalize the name of Jesus. So if it's not about verbalizing His name, what is it about? What does it mean? We're going to walk through this verse and these verses, this text together tonight, and hope the Holy Ghost can make them understandable to us, because it provides us, these verses provide us with some simple principles that should govern the totality of our lives as believers. Most of you tonight know we are to pray in Jesus' name. Probably everybody here are well aware of the fact that we're to pray in the name of Jesus. But did you know you're also to speak to your children in the name of Jesus and do your job on the work site in the name of Jesus? I was in a revival meeting not too long ago, and the pastor of the church was and Brother Jim Hill, and his family knows him. He's a big basketball fan. He's an assistant. He assists the high school basketball coach. And I went up to watch a game. He encouraged me to come up. I went up and watched the high school team play a game. And they were getting beat like a drum, and it was rather embarrassing. It's after about the first quarter and a half. And they pulled out one of their starters and put a kid in from the bench to let one of their starters rest a while. And this kid went in like a whirlwind. I've never seen such in my life. Elbows flying. He was in foul trouble in 2 minutes. I mean, he had an attitude a mile wide. And that kid came on the court with an attitude, brother, and it was like a red flag. He was there to punch somebody in the eye. That's all he was about. And so here he was going. After the game, I asked the pastor, I said, now, isn't that kid one of your youth? Haven't I seen him around the church house? And the pastor kind of ducked his head. He said, yeah. He said, that kid's a head case. That's what he told. He said, he's a head case. And you know what I thought to myself? I thought, now this young man undoubtedly knows that he's to pray in the name of Jesus. But maybe nobody's ever told him he's to play basketball in the name of Jesus too. Did you know that, Christian? Did you know that whatever you do is to be done in Jesus' name? Now, what does that mean? How does this work? Well, let's look at the principles this passage teaches. First of all, we know this. To do all that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus means that we do it under His authority. Under His authority. Look at that 16th verse. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Right off the bat, the Bible connects this concept to doing all that we do in the name of Jesus, allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. That's simply a way of saying, let the overall message of God's Word, the Bible, be the controlling power in your life. Live your life in submission to the Word of God. One paraphrase renders like this, let the Word of Christ have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. And that's the concept here. Deuteronomy 6 talks about this. I love these verses in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Don't you love that verse? What that passage says is, we're to let the Word of God saturate our lives. I mean, we get it in our heart, we get it on our tongue, and everywhere we are, we're talking about it. We're talking about it to our children. We're talking about it to our co-workers. Just as we go through the course of life, we keep bringing up in our hearts the Word of God. When I was a 15-year-old boy, this passage revolutionized my life. Psalm 19, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Doing all that I do in the name of the Lord Jesus means I live my life. This is a very general principle, I know, but in general what it means is I live my life in submission to the authority of the Word of God. I cannot be in rebellion to what I know the Bible teaches and be doing all that I'm doing in the name of the Lord Jesus. To do what I do in His name means I am yielding myself to the authority of Christ as reflected in His Word. Christ asked a probing question in Luke 6:46. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, I cannot call Him Lord, Lord. I cannot say I'm living, doing, breathing in Jesus' name if I'm in violation of what I know His Word teaches. So right off the bat, and this is simple enough that I'm going to move on quickly. Right off the bat, the Word of God says, if we're to do all we do in His name, it's going to involve the fact that we're under His authority. We're in submission to His Word. Secondly, notice this. Not only am I to do all that I do under His authority, but I'm to do all that I do as His ambassador. As His ambassador. Look at that 16th verse again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now notice, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing one another. Living all out in the name of the Lord Jesus involves the awareness that my life is to represent His interests. So that as I go through the business of life, I see myself as an ambassador for Christ, continually having the opportunity and obligation of pointing others toward Him and to the way of life. Teaching and admonishing one another. Going through life speaking the things of God, representing the interests of Jesus to those I spend time with and have any fellowship with whatsoever. One translation renders it like this: let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other. In 2 Corinthians 5, you probably already thought of this passage when I use that term ambassador. It's 2 Corinthians 5 that Brother Nick mentioned last night, and today we fellowshipped around it again in his home. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "And all things are of God." Now that's what it says about those of us who are saved. "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And listen to these phrases. Listen. "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." You know what Jesus Christ would do if He were here tonight in Zero, Mississippi? This is Zero, Mississippi, right? You know what Christ would do if He were here in Zero, Mississippi? He would say, "I pray you, be reconciled to God." But He's not here in the flesh. And so He said to me, Malcolm Ellis, He said to you, "I want you to go in my stead, and I want you to pray, men, in my stead, be ye reconciled to God." Doing all that I do in the name of the Lord Jesus means I live with the awareness I represent the interest of someone else. Life's not about me. It's not about me speaking my mind, giving people a piece of my mind, always flaunting my views and my opinions in front of the world. Life is about Christ, and my obligation is to point men to Him and pray men in His stead that they might be reconciled to God. The goal of my being able to point those around me to Christ, the goal of living all that I am, doing all that I do in the name of the Lord Jesus, is that through my words and my deeds, people I come in contact with might be pointed toward the grace of God in Christ. As His ambassador, living in His name means I see myself as a representative of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. And I don't live in my own name. I don't go around doing things in my own authority and for my own interest. but the interest and the authority of another has overwhelmed me. That's what this verse means. Do all that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means I do it under His authority, first of all, His Word dwelling in me richly. It means I do it as His ambassador. I use my life and the influence of it to teach and admonish others that they might know the Lord and walk with Him and please Him. Verse 17 says this in the New Living Translation, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. That's a good way to translate that phrase. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let it be as a representative. Now let me give you a third principle quickly. Not only do we find in this passage that doing all that we do in Jesus' name means we do it under His authority and we do it as His ambassador, but thirdly, it means we do it with His approval. And I guess this is the hub of the wheel. This is the crux of the matter tonight. Verse 17 is the passage itself. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means that whatever I do must have the approval of Christ on it. My whole life, and this is where you separate the spiritual from the carnal in the church. You have in our generation people who fight and fuss over whether or not they're going to give 10% of their income to the Lord, where the Bible calls for the real Christian to give 100% of themselves to the Lord. And that's what doing all that we do in His name means. I'm not arguing about how much I put in an offering plate. I'm saying, Lord, everything that I am, my whole life, every word I speak, every deed I do, every attitude I harbor, I want You to affirm it. I want You to endorse it. I want the endorsement of Jesus. And that was a word that I think God helped me see this with. When the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it means to endorse something? To sign your name to it? That's what this verse is about. All that I do, I'm to come to the Lord behind every word, behind every deed, before I say a thing or do a thing, foundational to all of life, even the everyday details of life, is this question. Will the Lord Jesus endorse this? Will the Lord Jesus sign His name to what I'm doing and what I'm saying right now? Or what I'm considering to do? Or what I'm planning to do? Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Too much of the time we professing Christians plan our lives, do our things, and after it's done we come and say, Lord, I hope that's okay with You. I heard somebody say not long ago, you may have heard this silly phrase, I don't like it at all, so don't amen it please. I feel like I ought to warn people when not to say amen. Not that most Baptists are in any danger of an amen fit, you know. Anyway, but just in case you've got one coming on, this ain't the time for it. Somebody said, you know, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Boy, that didn't seem to fit real well with this verse of Scripture. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because that means you get permission before you do it. That means you come to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, could You endorse this project I'm planning? Could You endorse this attitude I'm harboring? Is it all right with You? Would You mind if Your name is associated with this? That's what this verse means. You bring your whole life to Jesus and you say, now Lord, if there's anything in me, any word, deed, attitude that You don't want Your name associated with, put Your finger on it so I can repent of it and get it out of my life. Because I want whatever I'm doing, word or deed, to be done in Your name. I want You to be all right with having Your name attached to it. Will You sign off on it, Lord? I want You to sign off on me. I want You to be able to put Your name on it. It's not enough tonight, folk, for us to be vaguely religious. It's not enough for you to be casually Christian. And that describes a lot of what passes for church in America today. People are vaguely religious. They have some kind of vague little religious thing, but as far as all of their lives consumed for Christ, no, sir, that's not their story at all. But that's not enough. It's not enough to have some vague kind of casual religious experience. What you need and what I need is the specific endorsement and approval of the Lord Jesus on the individual components of our lives. The individual components. Paul prayed this in 2 Corinthians 5:9, or he confessed this, 2 Corinthians 5:9. He said, wherefore we labor. That means we work hard. We exert ourselves. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Well pleasing to Him, it could be translated. We sang a song in a Mississippi meeting I was in, not too far off from here. And in the invitation, I'd preached a message on the judgment seat of Christ, and the music minister got up and began to lead an invitation hymn, and I hadn't heard it in years, literally years, and it rocked me as he sang it. Some of you know this song, Satisfied with Jesus. It says, I am satisfied with Jesus, but the question comes to me as I think on Calvary, is my master satisfied with me? Is my master satisfied with me? Lord Jesus, will you sign your name? There's a statement in Hebrews 11 that illuminates this principle. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll for time's sake try to tell the story rather than read it all. It's speaking of Abraham and his family. And it talks about the life of sterling character that they live. The life of obedience and faith. Not sinless, certainly, but their direction was set toward obedience. And so as a result of the life of faith that they lived, the life of obedience, the Bible says of Abraham, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I was reading Hebrews one day and came on that statement, and absolutely. You know, we spend all of our time trying to get our church folk to live by Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We try all of our power to get professing Christians not be ashamed of Jesus, but I wonder if there's not a more fundamental question. I wonder if, in some cases, if we did rake up the nerve to actually speak for Jesus, actually did rake up the nerve to invite somebody to church or witness to somebody, it's not just a matter of are you ashamed of the gospel. We might ought to ask, is the gospel ashamed of us? Would it embarrass Jesus to be known as your God? Would it be an embarrassment to him to have his name attached to your life? See, that's the real issue that we're looking at tonight in this passage of Scripture. I need to place my whole life before Jesus with this being the issue at hand. Are you ashamed to have your name attached to me and the things I'm saying and the way I'm living? And by the way, please bear in mind that this verse of Scripture and this principle tonight has reference not just to our specifically religious words and deeds, that is our church activities, but this says whatever you do. That's at Walmart when somebody cuts you off at the checkout counter, or maybe the checker is slow or gets it wrong or something gets fouled up and you want to just pop a top and maybe let them know what you think about the situation. My wife, she's not here. I wish she's here so I could tell it in her presence, because y'all think I'm picking on her when she's not here, like I'm scared of her or something. But my wife, the other day, she has a little pet thing. She does not like to be honked at. I mean, brother, she does not like to be honked at. Don't get behind her when she's turning the store and honk at her. She doesn't like that thing. She was turning into a Sonic the other day in our hometown and turned in, somebody coming up behind her, and she was turning in, he honked at her. She told me, she got home, she said, I'm going to get a bottle of mace, and next time that happens, I'm going to block the road up, and I'm going to walk back there, and they're going to roll the window down because I'm going to look all sweet and nice, and when they roll the window, I'm going to spray them with mace, and I'm going to get in my car and drive off. I said, Nancy, don't you think by now, are you getting the idea? You're the one who keeps taking this test. It never happens when I'm the one driving. The Lord keeps giving you this test, letting you pass. She said, yeah, and I'm fixing to pass it. I said, I'm going to tell you something. You're down to a C minus now, and that's going to be a flat F if you don't quit. Do all that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. You reckon the Lord meant that? Could he have meant that? I mean, could he possibly have meant that? Having to deal with all the jerks you've got to deal with in life. Could he possibly have meant that everything I do, I have to have his specific approval on it? He has to be willing to sign off on it, or it's not okay for me to do it or say it or think it. Well, my goodness, the Lord can be awfully intolerant. I want you to think about one other thing right quick. Doing all that I do in the name of Jesus means that I do it unto his adoration. Unto his adoration. What I mean by that, look at this 17th verse. Brother Nick already hit on this tonight. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That means whatever's going on, be having yourself a praise fit in the middle of it. Giving thanks, thanking God the Father through Jesus, is how I do all that I do in the name of Christ. I guess you could put it like this. I'm to ask myself, and whatever's going on in my life, can I actually say this is an expression of my worship to Christ? That this thing I'm doing, this word I'm saying, or wanting to say, or planning on saying in a few minutes if I get a chance, that's my deal. I plan a lot of things. I say, boy, if I had another shot at that guy. See, I don't think fast on my feet. I'm not like some fellas. Brother Ron Dunn, one of my heroes who went home to be the Lord a couple of years ago, he was always quick on the draw. Somebody would come by and make some pop off to him, and he'd have a response just like that. I can't do that. I simmer on it, and I think about it, and about 2 hours later, I get the perfect response. And I say, oh, I wish I had another shot at that guy. But then I have to ask myself, if I'm going to mean business with God, I have to ask myself, could this be an expression of worship to the Lord? Could this be giving thanks to God and the Father by Jesus? Ephesians tells us that we're to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians was already quoted tonight. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. So here we are, giving thanks always, thanking Him for everything. It convicts me, folk. I tell you, it really, seriously, with all the kidding aside, it convicts me to realize that I cannot be acting and speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus if I'm not doing so out of the overflow of a glad heart of worship. Because I am a world-class whiner. I mean, I am. I've perfected it to an art. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, do you think God meant this? Now listen, Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Do you reckon that means if I'm not doing what I'm doing without murmuring and disputing, that I am blamable and harmful? Instead of being blameless and harmless, I'm blamable and I'm harmful? That I actually do harm to the testimony of the gospel? That instead of shining as a light in a crooked and perverse world, I'm contributing to the darkness? By my sour spirit, by my melancholy attitude, by my whining and my complaining spirit? A very practical way, I think, of using this verse of Scripture is to ask this. Can I, in what I'm doing and saying, can I bless the name of the Lord in this? Can I bless His name? Or must I separate this from worship and praising the name of Jesus? Must I separate this activity? You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That means all of life seen as a venue for praising and adoring Him. Well, lastly this, doing what I do in the name of Jesus means I do it for His admiration. I do it not to impress men, I do it to impress the Lord. I do it for His admiration. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses again, verse 18 and following, but do you see, beloved, how the Scripture forces us to know that what we're talking about tonight is not simply religious theory. The Bible doesn't give us the luxury of just theorizing about this kind of lifestyle. Immediately after this great verse, verse 17, then the Bible launches into a description of how this works out in the one place where the real you always shows, and that's your home. Starts talking to wives and husbands and children and parents. He takes us right down to where we are. Brother, that's the real you. Most of us can fake it till we make it at the church house. I mean, you got to be really in bad shape if you can't fake it for about 3-4 hours a week, which is all we spend at the church house. But it's when you get home and there's nobody around to impress that the real you surfaces. And this verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture says this stuff's supposed to work there in your house. And then after talking about your house, your home life, he talks about your job life. Servants obey in all things. You see, he's not talking here to full-time preachers. A lot of folk in the pew say, well, you preachers, sure, you guys can do whatever you do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Y'all full-time Christian workers, all you do is sit around and talk about heaven, think about spiritual things. Don't ever have to deal with any tough stuff. Don't have to deal with any disappointments or difficulties. I mean, it's just gee whiz and hallelujah for you guys. Sure, you can do this. But this verse of Scripture is not speaking to full-time, quote, Christian workers. He now addresses slaves. The King James word is servants, but the original word means slaves. He's talking about people who in the New Testament world were chattel property. They belonged to someone else. They had no rights. They had no ownership of property. They belong lock, stock, and barrel to another human being. If anybody had a right to have a bad attitude and a bitter spirit, it'd be these guys. But to these guys, he says, obey your masters in the flesh. That is, those, your physical, earthly masters, obey them in all things, not with eye service as men pleasers, not when they're watching you, he says, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatever you do. I'm going to read this to you from another translation, the New Living Translation. You slaves must obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are really serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you'll be paid back for the wrong you've done, for God has no favorites who can get away with evil. How about that phrase? We ought to just tear out and preach on that. God has no favorites who can get away with evil. Do your homework as though Jesus himself is the teacher you're handing it into. Do your job as though the Lord Jesus himself is the employer who gives you your paycheck at the end of the week. Do your household chores as though Christ himself lived there with you and was going to be the one to inspect what you've done. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it for the admiration of the Lord. Do it as unto Him, regardless of the situation or the others that might be involved. Keep in mind, Christ is the one you're really serving. Christ is the one you're really living for. And the truth is, as you serve Him in all of these daily situations, remembering that you are His ambassador on this earth, that life is not about you, it's about Him. And more than anything else, you don't want to embarrass Him or shame Him. You want Him to be glad that His name is attached to you. As you live that quality of life, you recognize one day when you draw your last breath and you pass from earth into heaven, there's going to be a recompense of reward. There's going to be an inheritance. So part of what it means to do whatever you do in the name of Jesus is that you remind yourself constantly, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I am a servant of Christ. Whatever other group of people might be involved, whatever others it might have connection to this, really, really, I'm serving Jesus. And I must serve Him well in this situation of life. Ultimately, I'm answerable to Him and Him alone for my words and my deeds and my attitudes. Now, obviously, the root of all of this tonight, the root, the only thing that makes these principles work this evening, is the discipline of keeping yourself mindful of the Lord as you go about the routine of life. Psalm 16, verse 8, the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, that's a spiritual discipline of keeping the Lord always in the front of your mind. The power for this kind of life is not in your humanity. And I want that to be clear before I quit tonight. This is not about personal determination alone. Personal determination is not enough to live this quality of life. This is about seeing the Lord Jesus as the source for my life and seeking to draw my life from Him. This is about embracing in my own experience, Galatians 2:20, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Drawing my life off of Him. 2 Peter 1:3 says, the Bible says, God hath, past tense, given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That means knowing Jesus is the only resource you need to live the kind of life that the Bible presents in this passage. Everything you need to live a life of abundance and godliness is available to you in Christ. I want Jesus to be able to sign his name to my life. I want him to be able to endorse all that I say and all that I do. And I must commit myself to that goal with all of my strength, believing that it is attainable. Otherwise, God would not command it of me. And I'm going to tell you something, folk. Don't charge God with wickedness. God does not command something of us that he will not empower us to obey. The fact that this passage is in the Bible means you can live it. And I can live it. It's available to us. But though I should strive with all of my might, though I should commit myself with all of my strength of will, I have to be aware that my strength of will alone is not enough. So above everything else, I must seek to yield myself to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to make real in my experience what His Word promises me. John 15, you remember what Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither can you, except you abide in me. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do much." Is that what it says? No, without me, you can do nothing. Not one thing. Beloved, I wish tonight that you and I could redeem this abused word, whatever. Next time you hear somebody say it, next time you hear somebody say, whatever, say to yourself, whatever I do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us to live it. Father, use this time tonight to challenge us, change us. With the scalpel of the word, may you flay us, expose us. And if there's filth and uncleanness that needs to be scraped away, may you do that work on us. And in this service tonight even, there may be some here, right here tonight, who could this very evening drive a stake down in their spiritual lives and say, from this point on, I'm going to make it the goal of my existence that Jesus Christ can endorse the totality of my life. That everything I say and do will meet with His approval, will be under His authority, will be for His admiration, will be an expression of adoration to Him, will serve as a good representation of His cause on planet Earth, that literally He will be glad and relieved and delighted to be able to sign His name to my life as I yield myself to Him. God help us to be that kind of folk. In Jesus' name, amen. You stand tonight as we sing. If God speaks to your heart, you be obedient while we wait a moment.